The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life, a life savings company for your journey to and through retirement.
Now, BBC Women Reporting the World Conversations with Foreign Correspondents brings together first-hand accounts from some of the BBC's best-known reporters, including Kate Eadie, Liz Doucette and our very own Orla Gearan. Through their voices, Colleen Morrell, former journalist and professor of journalism at DCU, explores how the gender, identity and power have really shaped the way international news is now reported from the Cold War to conflict zones of today. Good morning to you, Colleen. There's a lovely piece at the beginning of your book where you talk about the 24th of February 2022. It was the day that Russia invaded Ukraine. And you, like many of us, were watching the rolling news coverage on the BBC. And there was one thing that really struck you, wasn't there?
Yeah, that was because, you know, over the last couple of decades, one's got used to seeing perhaps one woman foreign correspondent out in the field. But now there were lots. You know, there were women presenting the programs. They were talking to multiple women in Ukraine. And that's unusual. That was not the case. Certainly it wasn't the case when I was growing up.
I mean, if we go back to the beginning of the BBC, which had been 100 years earlier in 1922, I mean, it did employ some women, but it tend to be in the more administrative roles, the clerks, the typists, the secretaries, although there were some in the higher ranks within the corporation, but very few female reporters or correspondents. Why was that?
Well, I mean, look, the BBC was quite an enlightened employer of women at the beginning. I mean, women didn't have universal suffrage in Britain until 1928. But, you know, they employed them, but they didn't perhaps give them the proper opportunities. A few of them did rise to director, but they were few and far between. And later on, the BBC introduced a marriage bar, which meant that if you got married, you had to leave work. And Lord Rees, who was the first director general in 1926, there's a famous memo that, well, it's famous amongst we researchers, perhaps, where he sent a memo to his station managers where he said, "The class of women we are now employing or should be employing is such that they should rank on the same footing as men assistants. They should be as eligible as men for promotion. There's no reason why a woman should not be a station director, although, of course, I realise it would be extraordinarily difficult to find one suitable." So, that,
so know, they were progressive
to do it
in ways.
Yes, exactly. So there weren't any women in those reporting roles. And there's a big gap between 1940s during the war when there was a female war correspondent until the 1980s when Kate Eadie sort of sprung onto our screen.
There was a great line in the book from a BBC announcer in 1943. They said, "Should there be a female BBC announcer?" And he said, "No, she might have to read bad news." It appears we couldn't deal with the emotion of something negative. So how did they make then that breakthrough from, you know, the administrative roles to maybe some of the on-air roles that were suitable, the features roles, to actually being there at the very centre of these war zones as far as correspondents, speaking to not only the victims, but giving strategic analysis of what was happening?
Well, I mean, really, it was legislation that made it happen. In 1975, there was the Sex Discrimination Act. In 1976, the Equal Pay Act. And then there were various BBC internal reviews, which suggested that they needed to employ more women as reporters, but also as managers. And, you know, in 1980, when Kate Eadie became a national reporter, because she was there so much, we sort of thought everything was great. But actually, it was almost as if that hid the fact that there weren't other women there. And then in 1986, they employed two women as foreign correspondents in bureaus abroad. One was Diana Goodman, who was sent to Bonn, and one was Liz Blunt, who was sent to Ivory Coast.
And when they were employed and they were being sent now out to the regions to report on these stories, were they being treated equally to their male counterparts? Were they being paid equally?
Well, they certainly weren't being paid equally. And that comes out if right back to Audrey Russell from the 1940s, who constantly discovered that she wasn't being paid the same as her male colleagues and had to go and battle with managers about it. Right through to now, because, of course, one of the people that I've profiled in a chapter is Carrie Gracie. And Carrie Gracie ended up taking the BBC to court when she found out that she wasn't being paid the same as her opposite number she was the China editor and he was the North American editor, and he was earning, you know, almost twice as much as she was. So obviously you could only fight equal pay issues if you know that you're being underpaid. And that was a bit of a sort of secret.
In terms of how these women reported, do they feel that they, when they got there, when they got these roles, that they did report on situations or respond to situations differently?
Look, some really hit back at me when I asked that question. I mean, particularly Lise Doucette and Orla Guerin, although they said it's interesting that it's still being asked. They both said, look,
no.
Women are also interested in covering, you know, military strategy and bombs and bullets. It's not just people issues that they go for. And in fact, in Ukraine, that's often been the case, that it is the women who've done a lot of that frontline reporting on, you know, the kind of moving of the front line. But also, you know, obviously it's extremely important to interview people caught up in these cases. And, you know, women can do that, you know, as well. So it's not a question of you can only do one or the other. But they did both think it was, in fact, interesting that it was still being asked, so maybe it was still an issue.
I mean, you mentioned there that they are in the front line, and I read an interview with Lise Doucette and said, look, you've got to be there, you've got to feel the heat and the dust. What did they say about the dangers that they have faced and the sacrifices that they have had to make?
Well, you know, I didn't really push them on some issues, like the sacrifices that they've made, but even taking these two women, these 10 women that I took in a kind of chronological way that I selected, you know, only 3 out of the 10 had children, and most had had to make a choice about that at a certain point. And one of the 3 only had children via IVF after leaving, you know, the BBC. It was always assumed that you couldn't do both. You had to make a choice. And that's no longer the case. I mean, there are just a couple of BBC reporters who do have children and are still out on the front line.
All right. Look, the book is a lovely read. It's called BBC Women Reporting the World, Conversations with Foreign Correspondents by our very own Colleen Morrell. Thanks so much for joining me today.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.